Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, May 17th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Well, I predicted six games. I predicted that the Warriors would take one in Houston, win both in Oakland, lose to Houston in Game 5, and close it out at Oracle in Game 6. And so far, that's what's happening. The Dubs punched the Houston Rockets in the mouth in Game 1, and in Game 2, the Rockets came to play. The Warriors kind of beat themselves pretty early on, though, and we'll talk about that and a lot more in this podcast, including what to expect from the Celtics and Cavaliers tonight. You can grab this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. You can get my written media on Forbes.com. Find me on Twitter at Kojitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or at Locked On Dubs. I tweet from both accounts. Find us on Facebook, Locked On Dubs, and Locked On NBA Net. And you can check out my credentials at LinkedIn, A-L-I-K-O Carter. Now let's get back to the basketball. One thing I did not mention in yesterday's episode, congratulations to the Phoenix Suns, who have their first overall pick ever. Phoenix, an expansion team, of course, from the 1970s. Never won a championship, but has been one of the better teams over the course of the last 30, 40 years. Adrian Dantley, great player, obviously that run in the 2000s under Mike D'Antoni. And now a few good young guys in Marquese Chris, of course Devin Booker, and the number one overall pick, so good for them. My Uncle Larry lives in Phoenix, says he's trying to avoid thinking about how the Suns are going to mess this up. Because, you know, he's not a big fan of the ownership, the decisions that they've made over the last few years. But he's a curmudgeon, so this is a deep draft. You know, how are the Suns really gonna go wrong? I like this Doncic kid. Would be very interesting in that lineup. Congrats also to the Atlanta Hawks, third overall, and the Sacramento Kings, second overall. Also, Mike Budenholzer to the Bucks. That is a great move. I am extremely excited for how the Bucks are able to manage under Budenholzer, who was let go by the Atlanta Hawks for some reason. I mean, you know, you can't win basketball games without a talented roster, and he managed to take this Atlanta team with four kind of fake all-stars, Jeff Teague, Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap is great. Also, Al Horford, great. And Kyle Korver, his only all-star appearance of his 15-year career. And that was just a few years ago, 62 wins. They were very good. But when you don't have talent and all of those guys are now on different teams, it's hard to win games. Love Dennis Schroeder. He's fun to watch. Love Kent Bazemore, former Warrior. I want to say congrats to the Knicks as well. David Fizdale, one of the best coaching decisions that, and front office, you know, general decisions that Jim Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, has made. Fizdale, extremely smart, driven to win. It's going to be tough, though, dealing with Dolan's overbearing nature. I have a friend, Steve Lowenthal, grew up in Connecticut, grew up a big Knicks fan, lives in New York City now, says as long as Dolan is the owner, and of course, Dolan is a family guy in that he was passed down this team by his family. So he doesn't really have any, you know, I mean, obviously Joe Lacob is grooming Kirk to own the team at some point, but Kirk is doing the work. And Jim Dolan is not doing the work to understand what it takes to run a good franchise. And yet the Knicks are still worth more money than any other NBA team because they own their arena, because they own the rights to like literally everything they do. MSG Network literally is a thing. And so they're worth more than $3 billion, nearly $4 billion. But they're not a winner. They're not a winner. They haven't been a winner in a really long time. And now they have a coach who can take them somewhere. And I just hope Dolan doesn't mess this up. But anyway, I want to move on to the Golden State Warriors, who laid an egg last night. They beat themselves, as I said before, early in the game with just some ridiculous turnovers. They turned the ball over so sillily. It was just silly turnovers. They only recorded 15 on the night, but 7 in that first quarter. A few passes went into the stands or went straight into the Rockets. Steve Kerr said it in the first quarter interview. Apparently, when we win, we like to start turning the ball over. And I don't know what that's all about. They've been so good taking care of the ball this postseason, but apparently decided that maybe the Rockets had folded. Like, of course the Rockets didn't fold. The Rockets believe they're better than the Warriors. They believe they can beat the Warriors. You come out, you throw the ball into the stands a few times. Come on, guys. It's almost like they went out in Houston or something. They looked a little lethargic, a little sluggish, and everybody really contributed to the turnover woes in that first quarter. Andre had 2. Kevin Durant 1. Draymond Green 2. Steph 1. Even Kevon had 1. They went 9 of 21 from the field in the first quarter. The only guy who got going was Durant, of course. How reliable has Kevin Durant been? I mean, just how much of a luxury is it to be able to have a guy who can go out and get you 30 very easily, play good defense? I know, you know, I could harp on this all day. He shot 59% in this game for 38 points after scoring 37 in the first game. He had 38 points on 22 shots, people. 9 of 9 from the line. 5 turnovers, though. The defense from the Warriors in the first quarter, not very good at all. James Harden getting wherever he wanted to go. He was guarded by Klay Thompson on one possession and blew right past him to the left. You're going to let James Harden go left and just beat you? The one person who played James Harden pretty well in the first quarter was Stephen Curry. Draymond got beat by James Harden on a three-pointer, and Harden made half of his shots for 9 points in the first. Everybody else got involved too. Trevor Ariza, 6 points, 8 from Eric Gordon, and then it became the PJ Tucker show. 13 points in the second quarter for Tucker, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 3 assists. As you may recall, he threw up a bagel in game 1. I doubt D'Antoni needed to light a fire under his ass, you know? One of his baskets, a 3-point basket from the corner, came on what I believe is the play of the playoffs so far. The Warriors miss a shot. Chris Paul comes down the court in the fast break, does a little spin move on the bottom. What do you call that? I'm not sure what you call that move. Somebody get me on Twitter. Tell me what you call the thing that Chris Paul did with his right hand, faking out the defender, Kevin Durant, who thought that Paul was going to come to the basket. He cups the ball with his right hand, flips it cross court to PJ Tucker in the corner wide open for the three-pointer. That was, as I see it, that was the play of the playoffs so far. And I give the Houston Rockets credit for that. Well, specifically, I give Chris Paul, point guard, credit for that. Now we have to take a break. We're back. We're talking Warriors. I want to get to Stephen Curry, who has not had a good series by his standards so far. One of the greatest scorers in playoff history. Seriously, he's like the 8th highest scorer, I believe, per game, though it's probably going down now that his average in these last few games is below his 26 points per game average over the course of his career. That's nothing to sniff at. He's literally one of the greatest scorers ever in the playoffs. Played 34 minutes, had 16 points on 7 of 19 from the field. That's 37%. Not very good. 1 of 8 from 3. Rough. 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Only 2 turnovers. That assist to turnover ratio still holding strong. But he was a minus 20 on the night. All the starters, the Hamptons 5. Minus 24 for Klay Thompson. Minus 24 for Draymond Green, minus 22 for Andre Iguodala, and Kevin Durant, who played 35 minutes, was a minus 28 despite his 38 points. The Warriors didn't manage to win any quarter in this game, getting thumped in the second, 38-29. How do you give up 38 points? I'll tell you how. You allow the Rockets to shoot 14 of 22 from the field. They shot more than half of their shots from 3, 7 of 13. That's 54%. 3 of 4 from PJ Tucker, as I said, 1 of 5 for James Harden, who did not shoot well in the second quarter despite playing 9 minutes, but a 3 from Trevor Ariza, Chris Paul hit 1, Eric Gordon hit 1, and that is not a recipe for a win. I give the Rockets credit, though. They started moving the ball, assisting the ball. 11 assists in the second quarter alone, but they were also swinging it. You know, there were a lot of good assists off of one pass, but there was also a lot of assisting the ball through swinging it around the horn and beating the Warriors' rotations. But were the Warriors good defensively in this quarter? No, absolutely not. They were not good. Their rotations were not crisp. They often gave up on plays. They gave up on a play where Trevor Ariza, basically, he gets the ball after a few swings of the ball. He's near in between the top of the key and the break, and he just zooms down the lane, and you've got Draymond, you've got Kevin Durant, and you've got Andre Iguodala basically in between him and the basket, and none of them slide over to try to stop him. He just has a straight lane to the basket. They all gave up. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. They're going to see that tape, and they're going to say, wow, I can't believe that we just allowed him to go to the cup like that. And the second quarter was exemplar of the entire game for the Warriors defensively. Just not a good defensive game for the Warriors in the second quarter. Allowed the Houston Rockets to shoot 64% and 51% for the game overall. The Rockets made 16 three-pointers. They didn't shoot super well, 38%. Very good, but not super good. And the Rockets went to the line 27 times. That's a sign of lazy defense right there. The Warriors also dangerously out-rebounded, 47-36. So this was an all-around effort deficit for the Dubs. A couple of bright spots from this game, though. There was a block of a jump shot. Draymond Green blocked Luke Ba'amute's jump shot early in the game in the first half. That means everyone watching got to take a drink. That's the drinking game. You take a shot or a drink whenever the Warriors block a jump shot. It's not going to get you drunk, but it'll get you tipsy. Another nice moment from this game, garbage time Zaza. Zaza scored with about 4 minutes and 28 seconds left to go in the game, and the game out of hand. But our boy is not getting a lot of playoff minutes. Used one of his nice little pet moves to get over the defense of Eric Gordon and Gerald Green. Some minutes from Jordan Bell trying to do some things, trying to do a few moves, dribbling the ball, you know, taking shots from 15, 16 feet. I like what he's trying to do, trying to be aggressive, trying to showcase what his game has grown into. In few minutes, you know, it's got to be tough. He's a rookie. You know, he couldn't have expected that his season would have gone this well. But that's enough about garbage time. I want to get back to Stephen Curry. I really do think he's healthy. He's so good breaking down the defense, using the threat of his shot. And in the paint, around the cup, he was a high percentage guy. The issue was he shot 1 of 8 from three. If he shoots 4 of 8 from three, he scores 25 points, and the Warriors are in a better position to win the game. He did take 19 shots, which is aggressive. Only 7 of 19, though. But I think the questions surrounding his knee, surrounding his ankles, they're overblown. And I think he's just rounding into form right now. I think you're going to see a big game from Steph returning home tomorrow. Not tomorrow, excuse me, Saturday. We got a long time until this next game. Wait, or is it Sunday? It is Sunday, a nice long break, some time for Stephen Curry to recover. I think everybody looked a little tired. I was watching the game, and I felt as though everyone was getting taxed. The death lineup, in particular, was getting taxed. And then I thought, oh, wait, they don't have to play until the weekend. So this is actually a smart move. You put them out there, they have time to recover, and you can play your best lineups for longer than they normally would be played. If the game was close, you would have seen all these guys up near 40 minutes or past, but because of the extensive garbage time, the longest anybody played was Draymond Green at 37. You had Kevin Durant with 35 and a half, 36, 42 for Klay Thompson, and only 34 minutes for Stephen Curry, but that's because they all got trucked. They got trucked. And so you would have seen them all higher had they been in this game later. Quick break for our sponsors. And we're back. We're still talking Warriors Rockets. I realize now that the game 3 of Cleveland Cavaliers versus Boston Celtics is on Saturday. So I'm going to go ahead and not talk about that because right now I don't care. We're talking Warriors. And I still want to do a little bit of discussion on Stephen Curry and his play. I love how aggressive he's been and he's doing all the little things, as Jamal Crawford said. And if you see like the numbers on his drives into the paint, he's not getting fouled. He's not getting calls, but he's making shots. And of course, the 7 rebounds, 7 assists showing that he is committed to winning even when his three-point shot isn't falling. You can bet he's in the gym putting up shots, you know, hundreds of shots, maybe thousands of shots. Plenty of time between now and Sunday to get that motion right and indeed to rest the ankle and the knee if they are giving him trouble. I really don't think they are, though. And the reason why is his ease in getting to the paint. He's actually been breaking down defenses very well. So I'd say there's nothing to worry about with Steph. I don't think anybody needs to be scared that he might re-aggravate anything or anything like that, knock on wood. But the other two stars on the team, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, gotta be better, gotta be more aggressive. Klay, only 11 shots in this game. I gotta give the Houston Rockets credit because they really wanted to shut down Klay after his big game in game 1, 28 points on 18 shots. Tonight, Klay was only 3 of 11 for 8 points. Gotta do better. He didn't do much else. 2 rebounds, getting beat by James Harden. 2 steals, but when you're playing that poorly offensively, you have to contribute in other ways. And Draymond Green, only 2 of 5. I think Draymond needs to be more aggressive. And when he sees a minus 24, you know that's going to make him feel very strongly about this next game. 6 rebounds, 6 assists for Draymond, but 4 turnovers and 4 stocks to boot. That's steals plus blocks. Definitely doing work, but not enough work. It's simply not enough. So there we go. When the Warriors have 2 of their guys going, they can really do some damage. But last night they only had 1 of their guys going. 1 of 4. Andre, even, was a non-factor for the most part. 3 turnovers, 2 of 4 from the field. You got to have somebody else going, especially with Kevin Durant. Like, you never know when he is going to have a bad game. You know, like, is he going to get 30 plus points every single playoff game? I mean, they can't guard him, but eventually he's going to have a bad game. Somebody else is going to have to step up. Draymond Green, 6 points. Klay Thompson, not great. Stephen Curry, 1 of 8 from 3. You got to have one of those guys going. And if all 4 are going, Houston doesn't stand a chance. But last night, their defensive scheme worked out, and the Warriors threw the ball away a bunch of times, creating fast break opportunities for the Houston Rockets, creating open 3-point shots for the Houston Rockets, and shooting themselves in the foot. Their fire was lacking. They were slow to 50-50 balls. Draymond Green even gave a shove, a frustration shove, to, was it Eric Gordon? I can't remember exactly who it was, or maybe PJ Tucker. Anyway, just shoved him to try to get the foul. They had to go look at the replay, called it a common foul. That's fine. The announcers, particularly Reggie Miller, was trying to argue that it should be a flagrant 2. Unnecessary and excessive is what that rule, you know, entails. And I think it was unnecessary. They could have called a flagrant 1 on that, but it was just a tiny shove. You know, I'm fine with the common foul there. I know Draymond is fine. He wants to keep his composure, I think, a little bit better than he did in this game and play better. I do want to say I am sick and tired of Marv Albert. He makes so many mistakes on the broadcasts, and it's time for him to retire. I counted no fewer than 5 or 6 glaring errors that he made, mixing up players constantly, saying that balls were deflected that were not deflected. It was just a pass. Marv is you know, obviously a legend and the voice of the NBA. He'll always be the voice of the NBA, just like Jerry West will always be the logo. But the man is decrepit. I've seen him in real life. He's decrepit. He's not good at his job anymore. And TNT has amazing talent in Kevin Harlan. I think Brian Anderson is good. Obviously, Harlan is incredible. I could listen to his voice all the time. Occasionally, he'll make a mistake, but he is much more bantery with the color commentators that he has with him. And he's one of my favorite guys to listen to. He also calls NFL games sometimes. Occasionally, he'll be the play-by-play guy on Raider games. And I love hearing him call football games. It's fantastic. So I would suggest to Turner, next year, you're giving us fits. You know, the idea that Marv Albert is still the guy he was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago is a fallacy. He is just not good at his job anymore, and it's time for him to go. That is my final thought on this Thursday, May 17th. I really hope you all enjoy the rest of this basketball-less day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.